from the Murray Glen, put her feet on the King's Highway. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Praise God for that tonight. Just let's bow our heads just before we turn to his word. Father God, we bow in thy presence this evening, Lord. We thank thee for thy mercy and for thy grace. We pray, God, indeed, as we've been praying, Lord, we pray you'll bless our sister Carl and her immediate family and our sister Rita and the family, Lord, at this time, and even the family that was named this morning, the Mountain family, Lord. We pray for thy mercy and thy grace too. Father, we thank you this evening that we can be gathered in thy name, the name of the Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray, God, that thou wilt move by thy Holy Spirit upon us. You'll grant wisdom this evening for the preaching of thy word. You'll quicken the word that only what should be said will be said. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, even for this morning's service. We pray thy blessing upon our brother. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for the encouragement of the word, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord. Father, touch thy people now. We're careful to give you the glory, the honor, and praise, for it belongeth unto thee. We will ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to just read the one verse tonight, so far to start with, in 1 Timothy on chapter 1, and I want to read verse 15. Praise God for his mercy. 1 Timothy chapter 1 on the 15th verse. Praise God. Amen. Well, just take your time and find it now. Praise the Lord. So we can follow along. Praise God for his mercy. This evening, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." And we know God will bless his word. If a few of our scriptures here, maybe we'll get to them, but praise the Lord anyway. You may be seated. Praise God. You know, sometimes you know God, you know, if you're preaching and you just pick a word, that's all right, picking a word. God can inspire any word. But if God inspires or quickens a word to you, there's always a blessing with it. And I was just there one morning there. I had been washing my face, and on the back of the door, my wife has a wee round plaque hanging up. And you know, I read it many a time, but sometimes you read something, you just sort of read it, and that's, you've read it, and that's it. But it said on it, "All things are possible to him that believeth." And you know, I looked at it, and like an inner voice said to me, "Do you believe it?" And I said out loud, I said, "Yeah, Lord, I do, I believe it." And you know, I looked at it and I said, "That's all things are possible to him that believeth." And then you know, it's just a wee plaque that was hanging on the front of a calendar. And the calendar has some sort of signs on it, and then it has a scripture verse down below. But I never really had read the scripture verse. So I thought I would read the scripture verse. And the scripture verse was 4 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. "This is a faithful saying." You know, and I looked at it for a minute or two, and I thought to myself, I said, there's a message. There's a message. There's a message from God. "This is a faithful saying." You can depend on it. You can build on it. You can rest on it. You know, if you're resting, you're not struggling. If you're struggling, you're not resting. And God doesn't want us to struggle. God just wants us to rest.
Amen.
And you know, when you can't take anything at face value. We live in a day when there's so much unrest. We live in a day of turmoil. We do. In a day like we just heard this morning, or abroad, it was saying how quick everything was. Everything's a rush. And we often, sometimes we say, well, I haven't time to do that. I've got something else to do. And you know, sometimes we find that because of these things, we're overtaken. Something else is pressing upon us. And sometimes it's a sad thing to say. Sometimes the things that we should attend to, we forget to attend to them because of the pressures of the day. Well, you know something? God wants us to draw aside. And God wants us to rest. And God wants us to come into a place where we can renew our strength. And the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength.
Amen.
It also says they shall mount up with wings as eagles. It says they shall run and not be weary. Boy, I tell you, that's some blessing of God.
Amen.
Isn't it a blessed thing to have the Word of God? You know, I was just thinking when the service was going for Brother Sammy, and they know it, it's sad, you lost a loved one, I understand that, I know about it, but you know, at the bottom of it all, there was a peace.
Amen.
There was a rest.
Amen.
There was something that anchored.
Amen.
Because we have a hope.
Glory.
That's anchored within the veil.
Amen.
It's not been sure. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm telling you, you can depend on God. You can rely on God's word. There's a rest that the word knows nothing about. God says, this is the rest. Isaiah prophesied it. He says, this is the rest whereby ye may cause the way to rest. There's a place of drawing aside. There's a rest that God hath provided. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know, would you ever listen to Brother Brown's message? God, by the Sabbath. There's a place of rest that you can come into. There's a Sabbath to the people of God that the Word doesn't have, and they don't know nothing about it. But you know, this evening hour, we can draw aside, we can come aside, and we can put all the thoughts out of our mind, because the Bible says that God will keep him in perfect peace,
yes,
whose mind is stayed upon the Lord. You know what I thought when I read this? This is a faithful saying. What is faithful is depend. You can depend on it. You can build on it. Because it has a sure foundation. You know that the Bible says that we are built on the foundation of apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. What was Peter's message? Peter's message on that day said, this is the stone.
Amen.
That the builder rejected.
Yes.
But he says, this stone that the builder rejected has become the head of the corner.
Hallelujah.
And he says, neither is there salvation,
amen,
in any other name,
hallelujah,
than around the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He says, there's no other name,
yes,
given under heaven whereby man sin, rather than the name,
amen,
of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise
the Lord. You know, I want to tell you something this evening. I've listened to men on different times trying to explain the Trinity. You know, they can't do it. They can't do it. But God sent a prophet in this age that brought these mysteries out and explained that.
Amen.
And you know, it's a wonderful thing. Man, you know, I heard a man and he was talking about the angels. And he practically said that he couldn't say why the angels were male or why they were female. He said, we better go wandering. and whether the angel was a male or female. Well, I can tell you this evening that an angel is as a male. He's not female. Now, I want you to listen carefully to what I'm going to say to you. He's not. He's in the male. And you know, a man phoned me not so long ago, and he said he was studying in Genesis, and he would like it. He says, I've come up to a place here, he says, I'd love to hear your opinion on it. He said, do you think them angels, he says, then he says, it says that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were exceedingly fair, and they took unto them wives. He says to me, who do you think them sons of God were? And he says, what do you think? He says, I would like to hear your opinion. He says, then he says it would maybe it could help me. But he says, I'm sort of sitting here and reading. He must have had the Bible when he went into Genesis and he read from Genesis. And I said, well, have you ever seen a Bible what they call a Scofield Bible? He said, I have one. Well, I says, Scofield says that these were fallen or angels that had come down and pressed themselves into human form and took wives. And he said that was how you got the jars. Well, you know, a lot of people used to think that. A matter of fact, I worked at one time, I was working with a man, and he said to me, are you going to kiss today? And I said, oh, yeah, I am. He said, my dad heard you preaching. I said, oh, he said it was one time, it was a long time ago, he said you were in the field scarper on the 13th of July. I said, that's a right while ago, boy, I was a young fellow then. And all, and he said, boy, I was listening to a prayerful program. He says, you know, the angels come down, become like men. And I said, that's not really right, you know. And I said, where did you get this? He said, oh, I got it on the computer. Well, I said, you must be able to operate a computer or look at these things on a computer. I said, why don't you put in about Brother Branham? I said, a prophet of God, God sent a prophet. And I said, this prophet, God allowed him to show him, open the mysteries, tell him. The things that were a mystery, God in this day revealed them. And I, you know, so I talked to them, but you know, if you really think of it, you know, Jesus come to redeem man. God become flesh to redeem man. Now, he had to become a man. So, God created himself in the womb of a virgin and was born, you know, the virgin birth. Now, what did, so if I just can get this over to you, the angels don't have the same feelings as we have.
No.
Now, if you can read between the lines what I'm saying, an angel's not like a man and he's not like a woman. Now, God put man on the earth, and after the Garden of Eden, God told the man to be fruitful and the woman and to multiply and to replenish the earth, to bring forth on the earth. So the woman's desire, the wife's desire was to her husband, and the husband to the wife. You know what I'm talking about. And there it was. But angels don't have that fear. They don't have that desire. They're not like that. They're created beings, and the way they were created. Now, God didn't become as one of the angels. He didn't become an angel to come to redeem man, because an angel couldn't redeem man. But God became flesh so that he could redeem man, because his blood was not contaminated. Man's blood was contaminated from the garden. So the two trees grew in the garden, and what did God do when man fell? God sent the serpents to what? To guard the way of the tree of life. At least they put forth their hand and live forever. They couldn't come that way. And Satan had no desire to have a wife now.
Amen.
Can you understand what I'm saying? You see, the angel don't. No, now we're going to be like the angel someday. Now, Brother Branham said when he got over there, listen carefully. What he said, people say, oh, you shouldn't be preaching like this. But I want you to listen to this. If you don't agree with me, that's all right. But just bear with me a wee bit. Brother Branham said when we got over there, that he said it. This horror. Now, some people may say, oh, I can't pick that in. But they can pick in a lot of nonsense.
Right.
They can pick in that Jesus
right.
come and play a game of football with them.
Right.
They can pick in something other sort of nonsense. They can pick it in. They can say they've seen an angel. But I can tell you something. If you've seen an angel, what would you do? I'd be bothered. What would you do? Didn't Eddie Biscoll say in his testimony about the angel coming in the car when Brother Branham was in, and he said he looked at Brother Branham and he said his face was like icing on his beard, a lot of days growth had stood out. And then he said to Eddie Biscoll, it's the same every time, he says you feel like you could die. And notice anybody that had an angel visitation in the Bible, what was the first thing the angel always said to them? Fear not. Fear not. And you know when the angel appeared to Mary and told Mary that she's going to have a son, you know what Mary said to him? How can this thing be? Seeing I never knew a man. And he said, the Most High shall overshadow thee. So you see what took place there. Back there. You see, Jesus didn't come as an angel. He came as a man. He came born through a virgin. He comes through the virgin. You know, angels can't be tempted. An angel can't be tempted. It's different makeup from a human. We are a bit lower than the angels. And Jesus Christ, the Bible tells me that he left the ivory palace. He left the splendor of heaven.
Right.
He come down. And he took unto him Adam's race.
Yes.
He come as a man.
Right.
You know why he come as a man? It was going to take a man.
Yes.
To redeem man.
Right.
But there wasn't a man on the earth that could redeem man. Adam couldn't redeem man. No man. But one man could, the God man.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, he came as a man. He was tempted like you are, tempted like I am. Not in some things, but in all things.
Yes.
But you know, he was the only man. There was no contamination in his blood. Man had nothing to do with his blood. The virgin had nothing to do with his blood. God created all that was there. And it came forth as a baby. And you know, Brother Brown said a wonderful thing one time. He said, little Jehovah lying in the manger.
Amen.
He was God. He always was God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like one time I was talking to the Jehovah Witness and I asked him, he said to me, I said, who was Melchizedek? And he said, no one knew. For he said there was no R center. And there was no D center. So he said actually, nobody knew who he was. He says, some think he was a priest. Or some think he was this or that. You know, whenever Jesus asked the question to Peter and to the disciples, he said, who do the men say that I am? Peter, look on. And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did he say to him? He said, flesh and blood have not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. God revealed it to him. Now you know what Philip said to him. Philip said to him, show us the Father and suffice us. What did Jesus say to him? Have I been so long with thee? And hast do thou not know, and hast thou not known me? He says, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father.
Amen.
For the Father dwells within me.
Amen.
You know, you hear people saying, they say, oh, Jesus was the second person of the Godhead. That's nonsense. The Bible never said that. That's not in the Bible. It's not God's word. It said in Colossians that in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's in him. In Christ. Christ the one. Christ the center. He's the center. Therefore, there's no other one can secure thee. There's no other one can save thee. And that's why Paul said, this is a faithful saying. Oh, why it's a faithful saying. You can hold on to it tonight. For there's redemption. There's life. There's life. You know, somebody said, how did the dead come forth? He says, thou fool, except it be sown. It says it can't come forth unless it's sown. It's sown. It goes down in a body of incorruption. It comes up in an incorruptible body. He said, and he looked at me. I says he was God.
Yes,
but the Bible said he'd no father, and he'd no mother, and he had no beginning of this, and he had no end of this. He was in hell. And that only that life, that eternal life, is in God. It was in the tree of life. It's still in it.
Amen.
It's not in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It had a start, it has an end. And that eternal life, if you want that eternal life, the Bible says he had half the Son, half life, and he had half not the Son, he hasn't got any life. He's only existing. It's a faithful saying. You can depend on it. It's a faithful saying. It's dependable. It's able. It's able to secure it. Praise God tonight for security.
Amen.
For eternal salvation.
Amen.
Praise God tonight for God's eternal security.
Amen.
I'm glad for it.
Amen.
I'm glad tonight. I know it was the blood. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me. Had to be blood. Had to be on heart of a blood with no sinner. Heart of a blood that wasn't contaminated. You know, I said to this man, I said that them sons of God were the descendants of Adam. They come from Adam. They were the righteous seed. They were the ones, the sons of God. They weren't angels, they were men.
Right.
But they mixed with the seed that was from Cain's side.
Yes.
And you know, not once did God had no respect to Cain. Even the mother about his offering. And you know what did he say? Cain said that the God had put him out from his presence and become a fugitive and a beggar born. And we know it tonight. He's not in the genealogy. He's not in it. I referred it to this man. I said, go back. And you trace back, right back in the Bible. And I said, read the genealogies. He says, I have read them. Well, then I said, go back and go over and read the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And you see that he's traced back to Adam. And Adam was called in Luke,
yes,
the Son of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes.
So it said that Cain, Eve said, I have gotten a man from the Lord, which is quite right, for only the Lord can give life.
Amen.
She was right when she said that. But you see, the educated scholar today is smooth this way, showing his age. It's a greatness. But you know God, they come along. The educated world can't explain that. But God done it. You know, when he come down in small chapel, that brother Brown said he just took a little of this and took a little of that there and the other body and stepped into the
Amen.
And communed with Abraham. He communion with Abraham.
Right.
He met him coming from the slaughter and he brought bread and wine and he communion with him. And what did God say to Lee? He said, I will put enmity between thy seed and his seed. And we know that a woman doesn't have a seed, so she was going to receive a seed. What seed was that? It was the Saviour. It was Jesus. She received it. You know, she wasn't married when she received it. Joseph got it on the third. Tickering around his wife, but the angel appeared to Joseph and told him to tick her. Because he said, what will you call him? Isaiah prophesied it. 700, 800, maybe 900 years before it happened. He prophesied Isaiah chapter 9. Daniel prophesied it. He prophesied when the Messiah would come and when he would be cut off and what would take place. He prophesied right down to this day and age in which we're living. When men and I might maybe say something here that maybe just mightn't be right. So if it doesn't happen to be right, don't say now that man got up there and he said something that. But you took the knowledge. Now, when I was going to school, there was no such thing as a mobile phone. And if someone had said to you, a mobile phone, you know what you'd have said to them? Well, you're reading the comics. There was no such a thing.
No,
there was no mobile phone, so you didn't know what a mobile phone was. So the name of a mobile phone didn't exist.
It's true.
And I remember the first phone that ever came round our country, it was a kiosk, as you call it, a red colour box on the road that you could win, and you had to be able to press the button. I didn't even know how to do a phone call. Didn't know how to do it. Well, you may laugh at it. It's funny, but I didn't know how to do it. But there it was. You put your money in and you put your hand on the button and you lifted the operator and you said to the operator, well, you could have said to the operator, I want to call the telephone number. What is it, 5105 or 5051? Well, and the operator said, all right, just hold on, I'll get it for you. You put it in, and as soon as the person spoke with you down, you pressed the button and your money went in, and then you had so long, whatever length of time your money done, if it done you 3 minutes or 5 minutes, whatever length of time it done then, your phone quit again.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you're going to say, you had to say it. No such thing as a mobile phone. Now, in school, boys used to be disobedient in school, and sometimes the teacher used to give them lines. And I noticed one boy, and he used to have to write the lines out. And I never got lines, but I got the stick. I accepted it instead of the lines, but it was easy for me to get 2 slaps on the hand and write lines. But he taped 2 pencils together. Because he wrote 1 line, he wrote 2 there. So if it took half an hour to write whatever lines he got, he wrote them in 15 minutes because he kept together. Now you see, it was smart in a way. But what I'm trying to say is, you know, look, when Martin Luther come, and you know, they invented the printing press. Before that, they all had a rope behind. It took a long time. But you imagine they got a printing press, and by it was some technology to them, because they could print. They said they were able to print the letters quicker than they were able to burn them. Because they got a printing press and they could roll it out. And you know, what I'm trying to say to you is, maybe what I was going to say to you, just mightn't be right, but there's something telling. You know, the knowledge has increased. Daniel said it would increase. Men will go to them throughout the earth. Now I can remember the planes, like the old planes flying. I can remember seeing Spitfire planes flying. Mm-hmm. I've seen Spitfires in the air. And I seen them out when we were out at Ballycross outside Palm Beach. I remember seeing Spitfire planes. I remember seeing a German plane. Now, the war was actually over while they were kicking it to some place, or while they were making a film, I don't know, but I could remember seeing that plane with a swastika and all on it, that plane, what they call the Mitzerschnitz. I remember seeing it, and I could remember seeing the Spitfire planes too. Now I can remember them. So you see, knowledge has been increased. And you know, Daniel said they would go to and fro throughout the earth. But what did the angel say to Daniel? He said, seal up these prophecies unto the end time. And he said, Daniel, don't you worry, for you stand in your lot at the end of the time, you come up. Praise God for that. But in the 20th century, what did God do? God sent a prophet. God opened the seals to him. The revelation of the seven seals. Not only did he do that, but these mysteries started to open up. And these things started to open up. And you know, someone said it took so many hours for to print some book. And someone else said the same book now only takes a matter of minutes on a modern day computer. It can be done that quick. But you see, where had they went? That knowledge has increased and increased and increased and increased. And got greater and greater and greater. Now, a scholar could maybe explain it better to you or show you it in a better way. But I'm just saying it to you for food for thought. We're at the end time.
Amen.
We're right down.
Right.
And you know, we can rely on God's word. We can have confidence in this word because it's a faithful saying. And you know, Jesus, when he came, he lived like a man. He ate like a man. He slept like a man. He wept like a man. He was hungry like a man. He was thirsty like a man. In all points, he was tempted like we are tempted, yet without sin. He overcome Satan. Now, he could have blasted Satan if he had wanted to, but he didn't blast Satan. He didn't just flip his fingers and make Satan fly away. He didn't do that. He said to Satan, it is written. He used this word, the written word, as defense against the enemy. And we can use God's word in defense against the enemy. And we can become, because God's word is become our fortress. We are encamped in God's word. We are surrounded by God's word. And this truth is to be shield us. Then that's where the Bible says you have to take on to you the whole armor of God. So that you can withstand against the wiles of the devil. You know, I think I looked at this and I said, boy, that is some verse. I looked at it and it said, it is worthy of all expectation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I teach. Paul knew what it was for to meet with him on the Damascus Road. He knew what it was because Paul persecuted the church. Paul was consented to the things that they done against the believers. But God, the pillar of fire, met him on the Damascus Road. Program said, did you ever think of that? He said he went back to what he had been before he come. The pillar of fire. He met the pillar of fire and he heard the voice. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And what did he say? I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. So you see where he was. He went back. He says, I go to the Father. What did he say when they were in the Garden of Eden? He said, don't touch me, for he says, I have not a little ascended. And he says, I go to my God and your God. He went back to the form he was. He went back to the pillar of fire. You know, whenever you look at your Bible, what does Ezekiel say? He saw the throne. He saw the things he saw surrounding. And he didn't say that he saw three. He saw the appearance of Armageddon. What did John see in Revelations? He saw one that sat on the throne. Not two, not three. You know, you see, it come in at Nicaea. That's where it come. There's a lot of stuff that come in at Nicaea that people's not aware of. And there was a lot of people in them early times that they called sects that wasn't sects. They were actually were true Christians, but they persecuted them. And they persecuted them right down, you know, when they sent the Roman priests after those men that they persecuted down through the Pyrenean Mountains north, when they sent them after them, some of the priests disguised themselves and lived amongst them. And they were really surprised because they found that there was men amongst those people who could quote the book of Job. And they found there was men who had the New Testament, wasn't written down, but one man knew Matthew, and all one knew Mark, and all one knew Luke, and all one knew John. So they had actually got the New Testament right among them. And you see, people think it was all the Roman Church, that there was no Christianity in between. In the Dark Ages, there always had to be a light.
Yes.
There always was truth. There always had to be truth. But you know, in the known world and in the religious world and the educated world, God took an educated man and opened his heart to the truth. Martin Luther, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
And God brought him out of the darkness of Rome and brought him into the light of the glorious gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm glad that's a faithful saying. I better hurry up here now. I'm 7:05. I have a lot more scriptures here. I have a scripture here on, it's in Proverbs. Now you can turn to it. It says, every word of God is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Proverbs 30:5 it is, if you want to have a look at it sometimes. Every word of God is pure. It's a shield to those that put their trust in him. You know, I wrote an old one down some time ago. Just wrote it down. I thought I'd have it here. And it's a good encouraging word. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:14-15. He says, I know that whatsoever God doth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor taken. It can't be taken away from it. And it says that man should fear before God.
Amen.
We know that God's a shield. You know, it's wonderful. I'd like just to turn over just quickly, and I just want to read you a verse from, remember that now, this is a faithful saying. I want to turn over here just a wee minute now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15. Praise the Lord. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15. And I want to go to chapter 15, and I have the verse of the book down here. 34. And I want to read you verse 34. Now listen to what it says. It says, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. But there now you see where he's speaking. He says, awake to righteousness. In other words, realize or come alive to righteousness. This righteousness is not our own righteousness. It's the righteousness that comes with receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive his righteousness. If you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive all that he is. And he's life. He's health. He's everything. He's the all in all. He's the one that filleth all. He's the only one. He's the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. He rose from the grave. He's a victory. It's a faithful saying. You can depend on it. You can rely on it. Then he says in verse 35, he says, if some men say, how are the dead raised up? And what body do they come? Then he says, thou fool, that which is sown is not quickened except to die. So a seed has to fall into the ground to die, or to die alone. You know, it says, all things are possible if thou canst believe. You know, when Jesus said that to a man, he said to tell him his son was deaf and dumb. In Mark chapter 9, you can read it. And he said it to him. And he said, all things are possible. And that man said, Lord, yea, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Boy, that's wonderful. You know, before that, the disciples had seen Jesus transfigured. They had seen him transfigured. They had seen a Moses and Elijah. They didn't know what to do. They were scared. They didn't know what to do. And he said, well, we build three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And he said, a cloud overshadowed, and they heard a voice, and he said, hear ye him. The Lord, Jesus. Hear ye him. And you know, Jesus said that these things had happened before his death. You know, the reason among themselves, they didn't understand, they didn't realize Jesus was going to die. They thought maybe he was going to become a king right away and pick Israel back. But they didn't realize that. But if they had realized, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says even if Satan had a name, if they had known it, they wouldn't have crucified him. But they didn't know it. So he was crucified, he had to die to redeem man. He bought man back. He bought, if you're predestinated to life tonight, he paid the price for you. Not the works, no works, none whatsoever. Grace on grace alone. It's grace on grace alone. There's nothing outside, there's not man, there's nothing in himself, not a thing. There's no good thing in us. Not one thing. We were all sinners. Born, shaped in sin. Come into this word, draw drawn, said, become speaking lies. And that's the truth, you know. I've never learned to tell lies, I just told them. Not that I'm boasting about it. I'm sorry about that. But I can't change that. But I'm glad that God forgave me for it. I'm glad for mercy tonight. I'm glad for grace tonight. You know, that's a great verse there. It says, God giveth it a body, as ever pleased him, unto every seed his own body. Then if you went on down and read on, he reads here in verse 40, he says there are celestial bodies, terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is a glory of the sun, and an hour of the moon, and an hour glory of the stars. One star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown as weakness, it is raised in power. No, he said, I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it up again. Not a prophet in the Bible, not a righteous man, no man in the Bible could do that. There wasn't a man who died and say, I'll rise again. But Jesus done it. Jesus come, God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God in Christ. Now, about to hurry on here. Now let me see. He said there's a soul and not your body. It's raised a spiritual body. There's a not your body. And there's a spiritual body. Well, I'm glad for that. And he says, so it is written, the first Adam, the first man Adam, was made a living soul. God breathed in him the breath of life. Now, the second man, says the first man. Now, the second man is the Lord. From where? From heaven. He's God. And he says, as the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as his heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And it says, as we have borne the image of the earthly, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly. That's a faithful saying. You can rely on it. You can lean on it. I know God is proof. You know, Paul didn't only preach a word to them. He demonstrated to them.
Amen.
And you know, some people mightn't like them saying this. They might take a fancy on it. But in the 20th century, we've seen God again. We've seen God come and perform his word again. We've seen the gospel demonstrated. We've seen the real gospel demonstrated right before our eyes. We've seen God and man doing the same things as he did when he was here on earth. Well, some people say, oh, I wouldn't say that. Would you not? Well, who done the works for Adam to do them? Jesus done them.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus done them.
Right.
He said, I'm just your brother. If I could do it for you, I'd do it for you. What did he say to them? What did he say to you? He didn't say, what did I say to you? He said, what did he say to you? So you see, we've seen God again. And you know, there's no reason why we can't see God yet. God's not dead.
Amen.
He's living.
Amen.
He says, I am he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, on us the keys of hell and death. I've conquered hell and death. He's a faithful witness, the first begotten from the dead. Hallelujah! It's a faithful sign. It's a faithful sign. Then he says, down on here, we've got to the earth, the Lord from heaven. And it says, we have borne the image of the earth, and we shall also bear the image of heaven. Now he says, and now brown flesh and blood come into the kingdom of God. Now there's corruption, hair corruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. Mm-hmm. It's a mystery he's showing. Mm-hmm. You mightn't be able to understand it all, but I'll tell you something, you believe it.
Amen.
You'll have the results of what it says. Praise God. He says, brown flesh and count, it says, now art of God and heart. It says, corruption, corruption, heart, incorruption. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we all shall be changed in the moment of the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. The death has no power over the born-again believer.
Amen.
You know, when they stoned Stephen, they didn't say that he died. They said he fell asleep. And we're not the sorrow of those that have no hope, because our hope is in Christ.
Amen.
The hymn writer said, my hope is nothing less than Jesus. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a faithful saying. You know, just quickly, turn with me quickly, and I want to just, let's see here now, Timothy, I've got to go back there, so, Colossians, if I have to go back here, I want to just read you, I just want to read you quickly, and let's see here, Ephesians 5 and 14, I want to read just a couple of verses, and I'm going to come to an end of this, 5 and 14, he says, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life.
Amen.
That's a faithful saying. Mm-hmm. Awake. You know, the enemy sometimes wants to put us to sleep. I don't mean physically sleeping. You need physical sleep. You need your rest. Certainly do. But a spiritual, sometimes in the spiritual sense, Christ wants to dull down your seeing and your hearing, so that you don't hear, so that it sort of goes over you. But he says, arise thou, sleepest. He says, what verse he says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you life. I'm glad for that tonight. That's a faithful saying. Praise God tonight. Now listen, our time is just going a quarter past seven. Now I know it's not a great hour tonight, so I'm not going to keep you. So the Lord bless. I hope I have encouraged you by these words tonight. And I hope that you'll be encouraged tonight. You'll bear the fruit of God's word in your heart. You know, tonight, we're glad Jesus rose from the dead. We're glad tonight he conquered death and hell. You know, I was reading a wee poem one time. You know, a verse said, someone said, what's the news? What's the news? And this is the one that was answering said, oh, I've got good news to tell, that Jesus Christ hath done all things well, for he hath conquered both death and hell. I'm glad for that tonight. That's a faithful saying. You can have confidence in it tonight. You know, you might have heard what Brother was saying this morning, but the bank man come, or the man about the mortgage coming, asked him all the questions. He said it was impossible. Well, all things are possible with God. All things are possible. This word, you know, you can't, they'd say one thing a day and something else tomorrow. You know, you'll see a thing wrote up and they'll say, you'll maybe lift the book and you're reading the book and says, right into the experts. You know, I buy magazines there, some of them about shooting, and see certain things and say, right into the experts. There's no such thing as an expert. Really, it's not. Because, you know, I heard a man, he was a worldly man. You know, it says the children of the world are wiser than the children of life. You know what he said? He said, you know, years ago he told you something was bad for you. He said it wasn't good for you, so don't eat too much of it. It wasn't good for you. He says now that, he says the experts told us that. He says now the experts says it is good for you, so eat it. So he says, what does that say for the experts? There you are. What does it say for them? It's in their head. It's imagination. But we know the one that said this, he was inspired of God to write.
Amen.
He was inspired of God for the speaker. They speak, holy men of old speak as they were moved by the Spirit of God. Paul wrote these, and he was moved, and he said, this is a faithful saying. And that if we don't remember anything tonight, remember tonight, it's a faithful saying. Jesus Christ came into the world, or Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm glad for that tonight. Are you glad? Just let's bow our heads just for a minute. Humble Father God, we thank you tonight. We thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. And Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for answered prayer tonight, Lord. Thank you for every good gift. Father, now, pray you'll bless thy people. Pray you'll touch hearts tonight. And oh God, I pray, God, that even, Lord, that you'll come in the world, that someone will be encouraged, that thy people will be encouraged, Lord. And Lord, that thy hearing it will take faith and believe thy truth, Lord. Lord, we're glad tonight that it is indeed a faithful saying. We'll come to seek and to save that which was lost. And Lord, we're glad that Peter said, you, the stone, must become the head of the corner. Now there is a salvation in anyone. Lord, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Father, tonight, undertake for us. Undertake for everyone that's traveling tonight, Lord. That thy blessing be upon thy people in the days that lie ahead. And Lord, may we hear testimony to answered prayer. But we ask it tonight in the name of our Lord and Savior, in the blessed and holy name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.